And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. And it's now time for Green Side Up. And joining us in studio today are David Skronza and Cherry Nelson. And guys, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to have you guys here in studio today. And we will go ahead and start with Cherry this morning. And you wanted to talk about fairs, correct?
I'm going to talk about the state fair coming up.
Yeah, state fair, yes.
Yeah, the Kansas State Fair is coming up. And
everybody's excited about that. I know that after last year.
It is nice to have the state fair coming back this year. And the 4-H'ers are going to be sending a lot of exhibits that the 4-H agents, we will be taking those out next week. We've got all kinds of good stuff. One of my favorite things to look at when I go out to look at the 4-H exhibits are all the photos. If you've never been out to the state fair, the photography display from across the state, we're talking hundreds of photographs that the kids have taken across the state, and some of those are just amazing. I know from Wildcat District we'll have a lot of photos taken out too, and some of those, it blows my mind how well some of those kids take pictures. I mean I can't take them that well.
There's a lot of beautiful scenery here in Southeast Kansas to take pictures of, so
absolutely.
It's probably one of my favorites is over in Chautauqua County right before you get to Sedan. There's just this big, when the grass is green, it's just this big lush rolling hills, and it's just like, I'm just like, can I just stop here and just look at it for a bit, you know? But
yeah,
unfortunately, you do that, you'll probably
get smacked.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you want to pull way off the road. So
yeah.
So, but again, that the state fair coming up. So when does the state fair start?
The state fair starts actually on September the 10th, and it runs through the, I think it's the 19th. Yeah, the 19th. So that's when the state fair starts. Actually, it's going to kick off a little bit this weekend out there. The state 4-H dog show will be happening on Saturday out at the state fairgrounds. And I know we have at least 5 members from the Wildcat District that will be headed out there to show their dogs in various classes and things like that. So we've got kids taking livestock, sheep, goats, pigs, cattle. We've got kids taking rabbits and poultry and all kinds of good stuff going out for the state fair. So it's exciting. I'm glad we're going to be able to do the state fair this year. When you're looking for 4-H exhibits, they're going to be spread out a little bit across the fairgrounds, so they won't all be in 4-H Centennial Hall, but they're trying to do that so they can spread people out. So
for maybe folks that are maybe new to Kansas, where does the state fair take place at?
The state fair takes place at the state fairgrounds in Hutchinson, Kansas, and it's a nice fairgrounds. It's easy to find and easy to get around. And
somewhat central, so.
Yeah, it's in central part of Kansas. So, I mean, it's a good couple hours drive from here, but, you know, it's better than being out in Garden City or somewhere like that where we'd have to drive 6 or 7 hours.
Believe me, I've been to Garden City. That was a long, that was a good, the one time is good enough for me. That was a 6-hour trip one way, and when you're doing football and you're coming back at 10 o'clock at night,
yeah, there's a whole lot of nothing between here and there.
That's and it's 2-lane most of the way too.
Yep.
So that's the other thing about it, you get tired when you're driving that much too. So
yes,
there was time I think I pulled off the side of the road, luckily there was like a rest stop, and I pulled off, took about an hour nap.
Yep.
That was enough to get me recharged, but then I had to stop at Fredonia again. Yeah, so I was,
well,
just like, I was,
you know,
tired.
Nothing wrong with stopping in Fredonia.
I got back home at about 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, so
and had to be work at 6, right?
Well, no. The good news that game was on a Saturday, so when I got home I fell asleep. I woke up I think at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh,
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
So
state fair can be exhausting too if
yes
you're busy. Uh-huh.
Yes, but at least it's not 6 hours away. So
no, absolutely not.
And there's a lot of great things in between as well. It's not just completely dead, like,
right.
From it seems like when you get the west of Wichita,
there's just a lot of open areas.
Yeah, so. There is a lot of open areas. So I will say though, it was pretty cool being out at Garden City though. It's actually a pretty big city. I didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah, Garden is a big city. So
what are a few other things going on right now with the 4-H?
Well, we're wrapping up the current 4-H year. So kids are working on their record books and keeping track of all the things that they've done throughout the year. And so 4-H agents are busy trying to field calls with things, questions about record books, state fair, just some things that, you know, to wrap up. And we're getting ready to kick off the new 4-H year. New enrollment starts on October 1st. So in about a month, we'll be starting the new 4-H year, and we'll have National 4-H Week and things like that happening first part of October. So got a lot of stuff going on and coming up. So some state shooting sports matches are getting ready to start happening towards the end of September and first of October. So I know we've got some archery and muzzle loading kids that'll be going to state matches. So
with the new 4-H year starting again, you're starting to take I guess people applying, and if they would like to join 4-H, or maybe a parent wants to get their kid into 4-H, how can they do that?
They can contact any of our offices to talk to the 4-H agents about that, or they can go on our website as well, Wildcat District website, to check out 4-H and enrollment. All our enrollment is done online, and if I would encourage anybody to call and ask, or if you know a 4-H'er that you're in, you know, and you have kids that you want to get involved, talk to that 4-H member as well. They'll be more than happy to help you get started.
And also, of course, all the county fairs and the interstate fair and rodeos now done as well. In relation to 4-H, how did that go this year? Well, like with the Wilson County Fair, the Montgomery County Fair, the interstate fair and rodeo, Labette, how did that go this year?
I think the fairs went great. The positive feedback I heard from most everybody was great, other than it was a little warm. We did pick the warmest week of the year, I think, to have fairs this year. And I know the interstate fair was extremely hot. But I think the fairs went well. Participation, I know, for Wilson County was way up. So I think, it was just good. I think people were ready to get back to some kind of normal activities. And, the fair is a good way to do that. It brings the community together. So,
yeah, I was at the Wilson County Fair. I was doing a remote out there. Mm-hmm. And there were just a lot of people out there and enjoying it. And I walked through the barn next to that's where we set up at. I can't remember the name of the building right off, but I think it was like the biggest building there.
Yeah.
And walked through I walked through those exhibits, and I mean, they put in a ton of work with that, and it was so cool to walk through all that stuff. I mean, those kids work really hard on all their exhibits and everything else.
Yeah, they do. I knew you were there, and I think you talked to a few of my kiddos up there. And so, we appreciated you being there, and the kids do work really hard on those projects, and we have some amazing talent in our 4-H members across the district, and it's amazing the things that they come up with to put on exhibit, and the thought processes and just the learning, the skills that they learn through the process of doing those exhibits is tremendous.
And it's amazing how well spoken they are as well. I mean, it's almost like they're all radio-ready already. I mean, they speak so well. We talked to a kid, I think he was about to go into ninth grade. We talked to two girls who were like 8 and not 8, but 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already like radio professionals. They spoke so well, so eloquently. We had one girl, I can't remember her name offhand, but she's going to the University of Oregon this year.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. And I think she said she also wrestled this year too.
Yep,
as well.
She did.
So
yep.
Very well done. And now she's out there at Oregon this year. But again, it's just, that's another thing that 4-H prepares the kids for, is public speaking, correct?
It does, yes. And we actually will have, I know Wilson County sending 3 members out. They'll be doing their demonstrations and their public presentations out at the state fair as well. So if you're at the state fair, stop in the 4-H building, because they'll have talks and demonstrations going on throughout the day on Saturdays and Sundays during fair. And it's a great opportunity for kids to be able to learn to talk in front of a group. I mean, it's, you don't think about that being important, but as you get older and maybe you have an issue and you want to take it in front of the city commission or something, you know, if you have that public speaking skill where you can get up and feel comfortable talking in front of a group of people that you don't know, that's a tremendous skill. And I think that's one of the most important skills that 4-H teaches kids, is to how to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, and then you don't think about it when you're on the radio, you're talking to a ton of people.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just they're not right in front of you at that point.
Right,
so.
Right, yeah.
So it's
just
a little bit different.
You're looking at one person.
Yeah, exactly. or if I'm by myself here in the studio, I'm looking at nobody.
Yeah.
But again, what are some, maybe somebody that's maybe not familiar with 4-H. So mm-hmm. Overall, what does 4-H do?
Well, it's an organization that, like we said, it prepares kids, I think, for the future. It teaches them some public speaking skills, organizational skills. I mean, they have to be organized to create some of those projects. Kids learn how to set goals and to, you know, work towards those goals. It's also a great leadership building organization. You know, kids can serve as officers, they can serve, you know, in other leadership positions, like, you know, committee chairs and things like that. And community service is a large part of it. This year we had a Live the Pledge Challenge for all our clubs in the district, and those kids was challenging them to use their hands for larger service. And some, we had some great community service projects throughout the year. We did some, you know, collect dog food or, you know, pet food for the shelters. We collected coats for kids, people that needed coats. We collected, you know, canned goods, a wide variety of things that the clubs did this year for community service. So those are some things that kids can get out of 4-H. The projects are endless. You know, if you enjoy collecting rocks, if you like insects, if you like plants, if you like food, if you like photography, we talked about that. We have STEM projects, which includes our space tech, which is rockets, astronomy, robotics, you name it, Legos. I mean, there's some Lego building projects and things like that. So you name it, we've got it for you.
My kid will love the Lego part because he talks about it and he's already working on it, but he wants to be an architect when he grows up. So he's like building skyscrapers with his Legos, but he's also doing stuff now he's only in eighth grade, but you got to get a head start a lot of days. But he's doing stuff on AutoCAD already, just designing buildings and houses. And I'm just like, you go for it. I mean, go for
absolutely
it, man. So,
go for
especially
it,
if that's what you want to do. That's something he says he wanted to do for like the past 3 years. So it's just not, I don't think it's a fad now.
Yeah.
I think it's something he really, truly is interested
something
in.
Something he's passionate about.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So how old do you need to be in 4-H?
You need to be at least 7 years old. You have to be seven by the 1st of January. So anybody born before the 1st of January, if they're going to be seven, they can join 4-H, and you cannot have passed your 19th birthday. So basically 7 to 18.
All right. So again, lots of good information there on 4-H, and we're going to take a break here in just a second. But Sherry, if anybody wants to give you a call and ask about 4-H, maybe they have more questions about 4-H, or maybe they want to get their kid again involved, how can they get a hold of you if they would like to talk to you a little bit more?
Yeah, you can call. I'm in the Wilson County office, and that phone number is 620-378-2167, and I'm more than happy to answer questions. General questions about 4-H, and we can get you in contact with the right county person if you are from a different county. But give me a call. I've been doing 4-H for a long time, so I'd be glad to answer your questions.
And I can definitely tell you're passionate about it as well, and I absolutely love to see that. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for coming in today. And David, before we go to break, what will you be talking about in part two of Greenside Up?
Coming up after the break, I will be talking about preparing to go dove hunting and cleaning and storing those doves after your hunting trip.
All right, so that's coming up here after our news here at the top of the hour. But let's go ahead and hit that break, and when we come back again, we will have part two of Greenside Up. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning here in southeast Kansas. Currently 71 degrees outside, expecting a high in the mid-90s. And welcome back to Greenside Up here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning, and now joining us here is David Skrantz. And David, what will you be talking about today?
This morning, I'll be talking a little bit about preparing to go dove hunting. Dove season opened today. Today's the first day of dove season, and it will end on November 29th, so you have a couple months to go out and try to find a few dove. A couple reminders before we get started is when hunting migratory doves, your shotgun must be plugged, which means it's capable of only holding a total of 3 shells. And migratory dove can only be taken while in flight and have a daily bag limit of 15. And this is a single species or in combination. So today it opens for mourning, and white-winged dove are the common doves in Kansas. And also be aware while hunting that on designated Kansas Department of Wildlife and Park lands, some areas non-toxic shot is required, and they will have signs on these areas. So non-toxic shot, such as shotgun shells is what they're talking about, must be used in, of course, non-toxic shot only areas. And then all non-residents, if we have some folks listening from Oklahoma, are required to have a hunting license and a Kansas Harvest Information Program permit and have completed an approved hunter education course. So those are just a few general reminders as we start the season today. And then I'm getting a little bit more into my specific topic this morning. When preparing to go dove hunting, it is also important to be prepared to clean the birds and to be aware of some common food safety practices when transporting the birds back to your house. So wild game birds, if handled improperly, may become contaminated with bacteria or gastric juices if they're not cleaned properly. So I have some tips here from Karen Blakesley, which is one of our specialists in the Rapid Response Center on campus. So these are important to remember the following tips during hunting, storage, and also food preparation to reduce your risk of foodborne illness, to make sure you can enjoy not just the hunt, but eating that wild game meat at home as well.
Absolutely. So let's get started with here this morning. So if you're going to go out hunting, what supplies should be packed to be prepared?
Yeah, so of course you have all your basic supplies that you think of when you go hunting, such as your shotgun and shotgun shells, but on the cleaning side of things, to clean those birds after the hunt, you'll want to bring a sharp hunting knife. And if you want to be even more prepared, you can bring a whetstone or steel with you as well to sharpen that knife if you need to. A light rope or nylon cord, plastic bags, a clean cloth or paper towels, and of course a cooler filled with ice to make sure that meat stays cold on your way home. And then it is of course to remember to abide by all game regulations for hunting, transporting, and storage of wild game.
So what are some of the basic field care and transportation information people should know?
Yes, Karen recommends to wear latex gloves while cleaning wild game. I know, of course, this is one item not a lot of people think to take with them, but this just helps keep your hands clean, and then you can take those gloves off. Running water usually isn't readily available when you go hunting, so this will just help keep your hands clean and reduce cross-contamination. Of course, do not harvest and eat sick or abnormal birds. And then wipe out the cavity of the bird with a clean cloth or paper towel. Do not use grass or snow, as this may contaminate the bird. And then again, as I mentioned before, do not cross-contaminate. So wash your hands, the knife, the cutting board with hot soapy water, and make sure to wash those thoroughly once you get home. And then store birds in a plastic bag on ice to keep them clean and cold. It's important to keep birds under 40 degrees Fahrenheit. If the cooler is not available, the second option is to put the birds in the back seat in the shade. So maybe even putting them under the back seat of your truck or vehicle. Of course, a cooler is preferred, but if you don't have one, just keep them out of direct sunlight. And then do not transport birds in the trunk of a vehicle, because that does not allow the heat to escape from the birds.
Yeah, we know how hot it can get back in those trunks, so yeah, that would not help at all. In fact, it may make the bird even warmer back there.
Yes,
so.
Especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten that nice, cool fall weather
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. We definitely need that. I think we're all ready for that fall weather as of right now. So what are some of the recommendations for safe processing?
Yes, for immediate use, birds should be stored in the refrigerator at 40 degrees or less and used within 3 days. For long-term storage, the whole clean carcass may be frozen at 0 degrees or lower. Freezing the meat while it is fresh and in top condition will enhance the quality of the meat. So this kind of goes back to a little bit of pre-planning, knowing if you want to eat that meat immediately or if you're going to freeze it. If you freeze it right away, that's better than leaving it in your fridge for a few days and then freezing it. And freeze game meat using moisture vapor-proof wraps, such as heavily waxed freezer paper, laminated freezer wrap, or freezer weight bags. Wrap tightly, pressing out as much air as possible. And then, of course, label the packages with the date and content. So when you're looking in your freezer, you know what you're looking for. And it's not a surprise when you go to thaw out dinner. And be sure to use those packages within a year.
All right. So, yeah, believe me, I've had that before. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
it's like I'm the only one who lives at the house yet. I'm like, what is, when did I buy this? And it's like, I don't know what it is. I better throw it away. Which I definitely don't want to do. Now, also about cooking the bird. So what, we got some tips on actually cooking the bird, correct?
Yes, just a few basic tips. So if you have frozen those birds, of course, thaw the birds before cooking them in the refrigerator or a microwave. If microwaving, be sure to cook immediately after thawing. Fully cooked game birds to internal temperature of at least 165 degrees. And if you're not sure how to cook them or what recipe to use, game birds may be prepared like chicken. So if you have a good chicken recipe that you like, you can go ahead and try it on dove or any other game birds that you may be hunting this fall and winter. And then, of course, with dove season and all other the hunting seasons we have coming up, remember to have fun and stay safe while you're hunting this season.
So lots of good tips there because, like you said, dove hunting season starts today. It's September 1st. So, again, people will be getting out there having a lot of fun today. So if anybody has any questions about dove hunting, Dave and I, how can they get a hold of you guys?
They can reach me by calling the Independence office. That phone number is 620-331-2690.
All right. So, again, dove hunting starting today. And how much? It was 15 is the max you can bag?
Yes.
Okay. So, again, be sure to get prepared for that. I know that will probably have a lot of dove hunters coming up pretty soon. Probably this weekend is when a lot of people will probably get out.
Yep, especially with a long weekend.
Yes, exactly, as the Labor Day weekend is approaching us. And back to Cherry just real quick. Cherry, if anybody has any questions for you about 4-H, once again, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can call me at the Wilson County office in Fredonia, 620-378. 2167.
All right. Well, ladies, again, lots of great information. We appreciate you coming on. And guys, we'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start open lines. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning here in Southeast Kansas and Northeast Oklahoma. Currently 72 degrees outside.